Blog Talk Radio.
I'll do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me till the end. Whatever I can, I'll do for you.
Well, welcome everyone to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. We've got another great show for you today, and if hopefully I can get Miss Rhonda Del Baccio, my co-host, unmuted in just a second so she can share with you what we're going to be doing today. Are you there, Rhonda?
I'm here. Can you hear me, Gina?
I can. So how are you this fine day?
I am. Oh, my gosh. It is beautiful. And just a couple minutes ago, we had several hens who were just bagawk, 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 like crazy. It was so funny. It stopped just a couple minutes before we went on the air. It was really very amusing sometimes out here.
Too funny.
We have really very, very exciting today. I was able to get Bill Crosby, an expert in social media, to join us, and he'll be the other hand up in our queue today, and he is great with Facebook, with Twitter. I know we both have some Facebook types of questions, and I know that he will provide us some fabulous help today. So I am truly excited to have Bill Crosby as our guest on the show today.
Well, hello there, Bill. Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. How are you today?
Excellent. How are you guys both?
We are good. Where are you calling from?
I am calling from a suburb of Chicago, about 25 miles west. Not quite as nice and noisy here.
I thought I recognized that area code. So what suburb would that be, seeing as how I was born and raised, well, not born, but raised in Arlington Heights?
Oh, okay. Yeah, just south of there, the Wheaton Glen Ellen area.
Okay. My husband and I, when we first got married, our apartment was in Lombard, right across the street from the Lombard train station.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
right
wow.
Around the corner.
Really?
My grandma
right
used to live there. Yeah.
It's,
my dad's out in.
It's amazing how many people I meet from this area that have moved.
Isn't that weird? I meet them all the time myself. My husband and I are full-time RVers. We live our life on the road. And just about everywhere we go, we meet people who are from one of the suburbs I left. And it's just weird.
I'm pretty sure it has something to do with November through March.
I'm sure it does.
I'll tell you, the only thing that, because I grew up in Los Angeles, so the only thing that gets me excited is when our local lake freezes over and I can go play hockey with my buddies and my kids. That's the only thing about winter that excites me. Otherwise, I could leave all the rest of it. It's just horrible. It's so cold here. It's just ridiculous. So, but, you know, I'm a Los Angeles boy, so what can I say?
Yeah.
So how did you get interested in social marketing?
It was a pretty easy segue for me. What happened with me is that back about 2.5 years ago, in one of my businesses, I attempted to try to start generating leads online in the real estate industry. And so I wrote a book, and I put together a squeeze page, and I put together a shopping cart, and I said, I'm going to sell my book, right? And at that time, you know, the only sort of real option that I had if I wanted to start selling my book right away was to go to pay-per-click, right? And so I went to Yahoo because it was still somewhat alive at that point, and Google, of course, and quickly started spending about $10,000 a month in pay-per-click advertising and came to the conclusion that was just going to lose me money, obviously. I had ways of making up that shortfall through what I was selling, but I said, "Wow, this is killing me. I can't sustain this very long." And that about that time, social media was just starting to kind of like you know, peek its head above the wall. And and I said, hey, this is that's free traffic over there. I can recognize something free a mile away. Even somebody as dense as I am, spending $10,000 a month, you know, can recognize that free is a lot better than spending $10,000 a month. So I said, I've got to figure that out. And that's kind of what brought me into it. And it has been a wonderful marriage ever since. I absolutely love the space. You know, I love the community of the space. And that's kind of what really has stuck for me is, you know, there was a lot of pain for one. So I was trying to get away from the pain, and then I found so much more actually getting into social media. I remember one of the first questions I ever asked about Twitter was of a friend of mine who was a real YouTube video genius. And I posted on his on I think it might have been on his YouTube site or something, you know, how do you make money from these tweet things? So, you know, as most people who get into it are kind of naive about how the whole space works, I was very naive when I got into it. So,
do you make money from that type of thing?
Well, you know, the misconception is that that you can convert people within a free space to becoming a purchaser, and that's generally. And by generally, I mean like 95% of the time not going to happen. And so that's where a lot of people go wrong with trying to make money in social media is they actually think, you know, okay, I'm going to come in here, I'm going to slam a link down your throat, and you're going to buy. Whereas people that are in social media are there to be social. And when you begin to differentiate that, you know, there are two different There's a way to approach people that are in a free platform, which is take them to a non-free platform or a platform that they're used to potentially having an offer presented to them. Okay, you don't present offers in social media because, you know, the way I kind of look at it is that social media is kind of a party that you're there to hang out, you're there to converse, you're there to get to know one another, and you can do that on a very massive scale, which is why it interests so many people looking to sell stuff. You know, meaning that you can go through that introduction process not just on a one-to-one basis, but on a one-to-many basis. So you can really accelerate the amount of effort that you put in for the amount of return that you get in terms of the relationship part of it. Okay, but then you know where people go wrong is that if you want to introduce somebody to an offer, which is how you make money. I mean, there's really only two ways to make money on the internet. You're either selling somebody else's product or you're selling your own product. There's really just, you know, not other way. And your own product can be an actual physical product. It can be a digital product. It can be a service, whatever, right? Or your affiliate marketing. Those are the two ways that you can make money. And those are much better done on your blog or, you know, somewhere off of the social media sites once somebody has gotten to know you. You know, again, another one of the huge mistakes I see people making is coming into social media before anybody knows them and saying, hey, buy this because it's going to be the next greatest thing on the planet. You know, you got to buy this. You know, really, really, this is it. This is what's going to solve your problems. This is your magic pill. You know, there is no such thing as a magic pill. A lot of people want to believe that there is, but, you know, there really isn't. So, you know, the fact that you guys are doing a show on relationship marketing is perfect because, you know, teaching people how to be relational first and to introduce themselves is just a skill that a lot of people don't understand, and it's so applicable in social media. It's just ridiculous, you know.
Yes.
So, Rhonda, what do you want to know from Bill today?
I was just tweeting you, so if you heard me typing, that's what I was doing. Tweeting to get us some listeners, and I've just also opened up a chat, and so. Inside the Blog Talk Radio page here, you can join us in the chat and ask questions and ask us here. And again, I just posted a tweet, so anyone can feel free to bring more people along. This always makes it fun. So what interested me about you is I've been kind of following you along on Twitter and the different networks, and I noticed, I mean, you do have some products that are Twitter related, and I got a really cool and very helpful idea for you that I've used, which was pulling in feeds to into Twitter, like things like from, I do one from Google Alerts, you know, relevant to the things that my audience would be interested in. So, yes, some of the tweets I have are conversational. Some I'm sharing things about storytelling or writing or whatever. And, of course, sometimes I'm talking about my own stuff and whatever. So I would love to hear how you're, and you're talking about building relationships, but how has this evolved for you in terms of the way that you have used Twitter and Facebook and other networks? I mean, what are some of the biggest lessons that you have learned in your understanding and your journey of using the social networks?
Kind of a two-stage question, it sounded to me like. So let me just sort of reiterate. First is finding ways to use other people's content in your own social networks. I've absolutely used that tremendously. I absolutely love that. It's a wonderful
mm-hmm.
way. It's a wonderful way to use you know, other people's content and present it as, you know, a gift to your followers. You know,
yeah.
And then secondly is how I used social media to. I'm just going to paraphrase what I think you're asking, and just correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Have I used social media to enhance what I'm doing in my business with my products?
Sure, I'd love to know what, and I know you have some Twitter-related products and stuff, but I'd love to know how you're using the social networks to enhance your business and get people more engaged with you in terms of building, using the platforms to build the relationship and then bringing them into you and your business and your products.
Yeah, absolutely. Love both of those questions. First of all, in terms of content, you know, I realized long ago that you know, and everybody always says it, I think most of us really don't understand it until you kind of start to see a result of providing good content and what that kind of leads to. But everyone says
mm-hmm.
content is king, right? Content is king. You got to have content. You got to have content. But, you know, most people go, well, what is content, you know? And they think in their heads that I can't do that because I've got to sit down and write a blog post every day. And, you know, that cannot be any further from the truth. We've got one of the biggest meccas of content in the world, which is combined into one kind of entity. It's called Google, and it's called YouTube, right? Google will provide all the content you could possibly imagine, as you've already realized with RSS feeds. And
mm-hmm.
YouTube provides some of the greatest content we've ever seen in the history of the Internet, or ever. You know, I mean, we already know that, you know, YouTube has already, in 18 months, YouTube has produced more video footage than the lifetime of video, which
wow.
is just phenomenal. You know, I mean, that's
yeah.
just a staggering number. I mean, for the last 100 years that we've been doing anything digital, anything
right.
that's movie-related, anything at all, TV, radio, you know, everything, in 18 months, YouTube has produced more than that. So there is so much content available to us, it's ridiculous. Now, it's a matter of how do you go and find that and use it. So, you know, I think what a lot of people misunderstand when they get into social media is, okay, what am I doing? You know, I mean, like, you know, what am I doing? Am I here just playing around? Am I here to try to sell products? Am I here to try to build, you know, eyes for my business? You know, what's my goal here? And once you begin to realize what that is, then there's, you know, very specific ways of going about finding and engaging people specifically to do with that goal, as opposed to, you know, going out and doing a blanket statement. And I've done both, so trust me, I've made every mistake possible at this point of how to do it wrong. So I can speak from firsthand experience a little bit better about how to do it right. You know, the right way. And when
yeah,
I first got into Twitter, for instance, you know, I thought it was all about just getting numbers. And I've got a lot of followers, but most of them don't mean a whole lot to engagement in my business. Okay, so, you know, I would rather have 1,000 fully engaged followers than 50,000 followers. And, you know, and I don't know if you guys follow Seth Godin, but in Tribe, Seth Godin talks about how creating raving fans. Okay, and a raving fan is
yep.
somebody who will cross the street to come buy something from you and drag four of their friends with them, right? So I would much rather have 1,000 raving fans than 100,000 followers on Twitter. I mean, really, you know, those 1,000 raving fans are going to always be more beneficial because they're going to comment on everything that I do. They're going to buy my products. They're going to love on me. I'm going to love on them. It's going to be a great relationship. You know, that's a true business. But, you know, most people don't realize that you have to be intentional about what you're doing. And it's very simple to do. I mean, let's take Twitter, for instance. You know, it's very simple to go on to the advanced Twitter search and search for people talking about your particular niche, you know, providing you understand your niche, right, providing you understand what, what language people are going to use. So, you know, then when you get that understanding, to go find the content then becomes very easy. And if you know, as you've already alluded to, understanding Google Alerts is like a humongous time saver. Because with Google Alerts, you can go in there, set up a keyword search, make sure it's pulling in articles that are definitely related to your niche you know. Then you can do a little tag called All Entitled. I don't know if you've ever used that yet, but that's a gold saver right there. So if you start your Google Alert with All Entitled, no spaces, colon, and then your keywords, it'll only find titles that have your keywords in them, as opposed to the whole article. So, you know, I put out a lot of content around Twitter and Facebook and iPhones because those are the three things I'm really passionate about, and so are my followers. So it's very simple to do with that. And then using a wonderful tool called TwitterFeed.com enables you to then pump it out in your entire network. And, and a double bonus, using a cool tool called Ping.fm allows you to pump Twitter feed to Ping and into your entire network as well. So not just, you know, Facebook, Twitter, but, you know, whatever else you want to be doing. So, you know, content has become a tremendous thing for me. And then, you know, likewise what I was saying with YouTube, if you've got specific stuff, you know, and you understand your niche and what people are searching on, then at that point you can go to YouTube, and YouTube's now got buttons that'll allow you to pump it right into Facebook and Twitter as well. And I'm sure at some point they'll probably have a Ping FM button too. So, you know,
I would not at all.
I mean, Ping FM is just fabulous. You know, Ping combined with Pixel Post or Pixel Pipe have become my two favorite tools on the whole planet. Because I can
Now everybody's sitting there going, Pixel who?
Yeah, Pixel.
So let's share some of these sites with folks that may not know, and Pixel Pipe may be new for folks, and even Ping FM may be new for some folks. But let's start with Pixel Pipe, Bill.
Pixel Pipe is an aggregator like Ping FM, okay, that allows you to put in a number of different social media sites to it. Now, the thing I like about Pixel Pipe so much is it's more video focused, so I can aggregate and syndicate video very, very quickly. As a matter of fact, I can actually do it right from my iPhone. And if you go to BillCrosby.com, you'll see that I've got a couple posts under there under videos that is actually me right from my iPhone and then broadcasting through Pixel Pipe, and it goes out to my entire social network. It is rocking. It is rocking cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And even if you don't have an iPhone, you can take a video, you put it into one place. You just go to Pixel, P-I-X-E-L, Pipe, P-I-P-E, .com, set up your free account, and just in the same that you can blast things through friend feed or whatever, you will set up all of your accounts and you can then blast videos to all of the various networks, not only YouTube but lots of other ones and social networks with one action. So it's a huge time saver. So even if you don't have an iPhone and you're not just doing it right from your phone, you can do it right from your computer, take your video, upload it to the service, and then blast it out through Pixel Pipe, and it will hit all of those different networks for you.
Yeah, exactly. And there are some other phones that work too. I think like Nokia's got a couple of phones, and you can go to pixelpipe.com, and it'll tell you a list of the different phones that it works with. Now there, you know, and I have a weekly live show that I do as well, and we've featured a lot of these tools on the live show. So if somebody wants to ever sort of see what's going on there, and I only say that because we actually have a post on our blog for the show that describes specifically all the tools that are involved with and the functions that are involved with making it Because what I've done is developed a system by which I can go to PixelPipe. PixelPipe updates my blog. My blog then pumps out a link to all the different social network sites so that all the social networking sites become a link back to my blog. And that also is all completely automated. And I can do that from my iPhone. So for those that understand how search engine optimization works, which is the voodoo behind getting ranked in Google, okay, it's all about incoming links that are relevant, meaning that they're similar sites of similar content to your own, more incoming links than outgoing. And that's how Google ranks your particular website higher than somebody else. So I said instead, a huge time saver is to have my social networks actually build my Google rankings for me. Does that just sound too voodoo-ish? Are we gonna? It's pretty cool stuff. I mean, there's definitely a little bit of voodoo to it, but it is extremely powerful. Now multiply that by, I have about 500 blogs at this point. With 500 blogs, I'm able to spin content and again, drip feed that into my blogs. So whenever I do a post, I can pretty much get it to the top of Google for sort of second tier keywords every time, which is an amazing thing in terms of being able to get to the top of Google is exactly where you want to be. Now, how well do you convert after that? There's still some understanding of how to make money from that traffic. Just like with making money from the social media traffic, Google traffic is no different. If you don't have good processes in place to convert people to a purchase decision thereafter, then traffic means nothing. So that's a little bit about how I've used the social networking to enhance my business. What social media does is it becomes a complement to what you should already be doing. Okay? And it's a great complement. I don't mean to diminish its impactfulness, because it's humongous. I mean, what I just described there, I'm able to get my blog posts up to the top of Google pretty quickly using social media, which is fantastic.
I can't skip asking you a quick question about that. So how the heck do you do that?
My next question.
Well, don't come to my site, because first of all, the FTC makes me say that I might try to sell you something. I don't know if you guys are following all the stuff going on with the FTC right now.
Regulation. Mm-hmm.
If you are going to visit my site, I just want you to know that I will probably try to sell you something, but you may not even know it, okay? it's a matter of understanding. I always say that I'm in the business of social media and internet marketing, okay? Because one without the other will make you no money. I'm sorry. If you're in social media without internet marketing, you're not going to make any money. Clearly, you can make money in internet marketing, okay? But the combination of those two requires that you understand what goes into a purchase decision first before you start getting traffic, okay? And it is as simple as, one of the best ways as an affiliate marketer, which is kind of what I'm talking about here, and I do a lot of affiliate marketing. One of the best ways to affiliate market is to recommend things and review things. And, another great way is what you guys are doing, which is to go interview somebody, right? If you want to get on someone's radar, go interview them. It's very simple to do. And if they've got a product to sell, then you can become an affiliate for that product, and you can put that link, providing that the FCC says you have to say that this is an affiliate link and I may make money from this, okay, so just remember that part. And nobody really cares about that, because if you've done a good job with the interview, or if you've done a good job with the review post, or you've done a good job with the how-to, which is another excellent way to sell products, do any one of those things, and then you have a link there that says, you know, for more information, or if you want to buy this thing, click here, right? So that's a really simple way to be, you know, creating an income for yourself, and that becomes a passive income. You don't need to do anything else at that point. You've already done the work. Then it's a matter of, okay, maybe what you want to do is, you know, boost the Google rankings for it. So go out and, you know, write a few more posts about why what you just said is the best thing that's out there. And then Google says, oh, look, there's these five other links that just came in. They're all saying that this particular site that they're linking to is the authority. So we'll rank that a little higher now. So you'll get a little bit more traffic from Google. But it's really not rocket science. I think that a lot of people have this misconception about how Internet marketing works. You know, Internet marketing, when you combine it with search engine optimization, is really just a matter of, you know, other sites saying that you're better than somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It's an incoming link. That's all an incoming link says, is that, you know, you're a little bit better than the person who doesn't have this particular incoming link. But, you know, a lot of this has come from some experimentation, from buying a lot of other people's systems, you know, doing a lot of studying, a lot of testing. You know, there are some great tools out there. But, you know, it's really a matter of, you know, understanding that conversion process. And that conversion process is, you know, based upon some level of trust with what you're doing. And that's why those posts where you're a how-to post, a post of reviewing, a post of interviewing, those are all instantly trustworthy posts because you're giving value to people. And the more value you give, the more they're going to trust you to be a good source to make a purchase decision in. Does that make sense?
I think so.
You think that wasn't a tremendous amount of confidence there.
No. Didn't quite answer the question.
That's exactly what I was just thinking, Rhonda.
Yeah,
oh, I didn't answer.
So, the question was a specific one about, you know, the message that you use, because we do talk strategy a lot.
Okay.
And there are times when tactics can really support your strategy, and they all should, but the strategy is important. So we were back there a few minutes talking about this method that you have for whipping stuff out in such a way that it's all automated, posts on a bunch of blogs through social networks and all of that. And I realize some of the methods that you talk about from using feeds such as Google Alerts or YouTube feeds or whatever, but how is it that you're specifically getting it to do all of this work for you in being able to spread that message, aside from using the trustworthy types of content of interviews, reviews, and how-tos?
All right, so you're talking specifically about the tactics that I use.
Yes, your specific method that you mentioned that caught both of our interest when we said, how do you do that?
Yeah. In terms of the, because I'm trying to figure out exactly what you're asking about, because I spoke about a whole bunch of different things. In terms of how do I do the content syndication?
Yeah, you were talking about just being able to get it not only through the various networks. I mean, we both know that Pixelpipe and Ping FM can whip your content around to different places. But you're also talking about, you know, getting it onto a bunch of blogs and doing other things to make your business a lot easier. And so that is,
well,
that's definitely something we're interested
yeah.
in being able to share with folks.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's one of the things that I do, and I'll just tell you how I do it first. You know, I don't
mm-hmm.
mean this to be, you know, the way to do things, okay? I have a virtual assistant. I actually have a number of them in the Philippines. And I have one in particular that writes 2 to 3 posts a day for me to my assorted different money-making sites. Okay. So specific, and this is something that, you know, clearly I have outsourced this just because I don't want to do the work and I can afford to outsource it. Okay. This is something that you could do from your house. So if you're listening to this saying, wait a minute, I don't have the money to hire a virtual assistant, don't let any conversation stop you here. One of the ways that you can build a site to the point where it's getting good traffic and you're converting on whatever affiliate offers you have on the site. So I gave you some ideas, okay? If you want to get good traffic that will convert, do interviews, do reviews, and do how-to posts, okay? To get those to the point where you're getting traffic to them is a combination of two things that I do. First of all, I'm writing lots of posts that list that particular site up as an authority site. And what I mean by an authority site is that Google sees a whole bunch of very relevant incoming links to that site built slowly over time. Don't try to fool Google. They'll blacklist you. Okay, so do it slowly over time. And what my rule of thumb is one new link a day to each authority site that I have, at least. But really no more. So meaning by at least, you know, I'm trying to at least do one a day. Okay. Sometimes we don't get one a day, but when I can, there's one new link a day. Okay. One new link a day over a year is enough to have you at the top of that of the keyword that you're looking to identify. And the keyword that you're looking to identify would be the keyword that people would be searching on to make a purchase decision. So let me explain how you kind of figure out what that is. If I were to go out and just try to do internet marketing as the keyword that I want people to come to, well, if you go look, there's just thousands of people searching on internet marketing. Okay, so that's probably not the best keyword to use. If I wanted to find a keyword that said internet marketing syndication or internet marketing tools or internet marketing tips, or something that is more specific, then I'm going to get people closer to what they're thinking of in terms of looking for a product to help them. I always want to be putting myself in the front of traffic of people that are looking for a product or a service to help them. So internet marketing tools is a very good one, because somebody who's looking for a tool is looking for something that they're willing to spend money on. So
okay.
If I'm gonna start taking a site and boosting it up in the search rankings and spending my time and energy, I want to make sure that the keywords are keywords that people are thinking about purchasing under. So tools is a very good one. So then two different things, like I said, going on in the back end. Okay, we're writing articles about why this particular site, the one that we have our review on of this particular tool, is the best out. And that's going to bring us up in the Google rankings. Now, combined with that, I can take Ping FM and PixelPipe and fill up and do all of the sites that are on those. Okay, and if you do the combination of the two of those, it's just above 90 sites that you can do a link back to your site from.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time I make a new post, that gets pumped out to those 90 sites, which then creates another link back to the site. Now, Google does not rank a lot of these sites as heavily as they would a blog, you know, not with my name on it. But they do rank them. So
yeah.
Those two combined tactics that I use to build up a particular authority site to the point where it gets good traffic and it becomes a little money machine for me.
Cool. So I like what you were talking about with between that and then having the content in such a way that it serves people. You talked about how-tos, how to do stuff. You talked about reviews of products. And, of course, with the wonderful new FTC regulations, we all have to mention that you could be put it in front of something that you might have to spend money on. but the interviews, the reviews, the how-tos, using the right types of keywords, and your example was internet marketing tools, a keyword that people are searching for and also spending money on, as opposed to just gathering information. reminds me, as we often talk about with people, that sometimes people just guess at what they think the people would be looking for, and sometimes they pick a keyword that people may be searching, but they may not be searching with an intent to buy. And Gina's most common that I've heard you use is wedding dresses.
Oh, yes, I use that all the time.
Right. So that's a great example, if you want to share that, Gina, of how you can, there's a difference between what people are searching for research or for looky-loo type of activity and what people are searching for to spend money on. Would you share that example?
Sure. Usually, when you go out and locate associations that are in your niche, these associations will have all kinds of data that you can get, sometimes even for free. Especially if you tell them you're a student, they're going to help you a lot. Well, my favorite example comes from an organization called BridalAssociationOfAmerica.com. Again, that's www.BridalAssociationSingularOfAmerica.com. And what they do is, if you go to their site and scroll down about halfway down the page, maybe a little less, you're going to see a section that says fun stuff or fun facts. And if you click on that link on the next page, you'll be taken to a section that's got online statistics. So on those statistics, it's going to break everything down into four columns. There are two columns that are related to what people are spending online researching various items in the wedding niche. There are two separate columns related to how much people are spending to buy stuff online related to the wedding niche. Now, here's the really interesting part about it. If you go and look at your keyword research, you're going to see that there's lots and lots of searching going on online for things like wedding dresses. But if you go look at these stats make it crystal clear. What these buyers are really looking for is research on how to buy the perfect wedding dress. Really small numbers of them are buying wedding dresses online. So by having these kinds of statistics, you can really better predict whether or not you've got to go into the information segment or the product segment.
Right. And that gets back to, Bill, what you were talking about with, you know, what are people spending money on? And you have to know that. That's a big difference, because in any niche, there are things that people research and there are things that people intend to buy, and you want to know that difference. And that, Bill, that's what you were talking about before.
Yeah, I always like to use the example of what Amazon does, because if you look at just, you know, who's doing things really, really well, Amazon's always an excellent model to watch. If you notice, one of the things they always do is they always have a model number very prominent on the site for any particular search. And the reason they do this is that somebody who has taken the time to research what the model number of what they're looking for is looking to buy. So
yep.
You can kind of get inside the people's heads, your customers' heads, of, you know, what are they specifically, what will they do to get that specific in their minds in order to go out and search. And if you can put yourself in that keyword set, you're going to have buyers.
Interesting. Yeah, it's like just the difference between doing research on tents or something like that versus getting to a specific brand of tent or a specific line within that brand or something. Is that, am I getting that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Excuse me.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, and how do you go about doing this is obviously going to be the question on a lot of people's minds. Well, one of the ways you can do it is there's a free tool available to you from Google, the Google Keyword Tool. So if you do a search for Google Keyword Tool, it is free. You just need a Google account to sign in, which everybody should have now at this point. It's easy to get if you don't. And that'll allow you to begin to do some searching as to what the popularity of particular keywords are. And it also has a lot of ancillary tools that are very nice. As well, if you just go into Google itself, And I mean, let's do the example I gave earlier. So social media tools, okay? If you do a search in social media tools and click the little button that comes up that says show options and then scan down to the bottom where it says Wonder Wheel, click on that little bad boy and it'll tell you all the different associated keywords with social media tools. And then you can click on any one of those. So if you start to realize, oh, well, you know what, Twitter social media, YouTube social media bookmarking, oh, let's see what's in social media. You click on that, then it'll give you even more information that people are searching on within that. It's a great way to start brainstorming what are people searching on in Google, because that's the place where you want to know what are people searching on. You know, the other thing to understand, too, is, you know, what are people bidding on? Because, you know, keywords that are being bid on are obviously keywords that other people feel are relevant enough for them to spend money on to capture that traffic. And it's very easy through tools like Quantcast.
Right. Yeah, that's who's spending money to advertise on the words versus just looking. Sure.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, Quantcast will tell you a lot about what keywords people are spending money on a particular site.
Mm-hmm.
So Quantcast.
Quantcast.com, one of my favorites.
Yeah, Quantcast is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we love Quantcast.
Do you use Compete.com also?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
I use them
yeah,
all.
That's another one of our faves.
Yeah.
And what about AdLabs?
Yeah, yeah.
My goodness.
I pretty much
I've never met before today.
Yeah, I pretty much, you know, anything that I find gets bookmarked, and whenever I want to do keyword research, I go through them all.
Right.
So, you know, that's just any, because you just never know when, you know, one is a little bit better or different than another.
All do complement one another. They don't all show you the same thing. It's not like you're duplicating your efforts by going to all these different sites, guys.
Yeah.
You really do need to use them all to see comprehensive information.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. When I do keyword research for a client, that's, again, I go through and I get a very sizable keyword list and begin to analyze based upon the traffic that I see going on where our best place to bid on a keyword might be, where we want to lift up a blog or a website, you know, what keywords we want to attack, what kind of strategy we want to use. You know, again, what the keywords will tell you, and some common sense, too, is, you know, what are people searching on that, you know, I wouldn't have thought of that would be a real buying keyword. So, you know, there is a little common sense to this, too. It's not just, you know, throw a dart and hit a keyword kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. That's what I think some people do. They go, well, I think this is true about my market, and they just kind of take I call that hope marketing, which is not a strategy, you know. I think this is what they want, and I hope I'm right.
Yeah, that's not a good strategy. That's how you get yourself into spending $10,000 a month on pay-per-click.
Right. Yeah, you've already been down that road, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, sure have. Been there, done that. It's still stupid today.
Hey, but just think of all the people that you're saving from that, and, you know, even including the mistakes so that someone else can avoid it, if only they will. Now, obviously, it's up to everyone listening to really take this stuff to heart, because I know a lot of people go, well, yeah, I know I should research, but, you know, I think I know my market well enough. I'll just go ahead and do blah, blah, blah. Sure way to get yourself in trouble and make it harder on yourself rather than easier, isn't it?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
You have a great post. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, I was just going to say, what else can I help you guys with, and what else can I help your audience?
Well, Ron and I both have Facebook questions. Can we pick your brain about Facebook for a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things that I teach my students is that they want to be involved not just in generic social networks like Facebook, but very niche-specific sites, too. So they can use Ning to find those niche-specific sites. They can use Google, but They want to have a presence in many different sites. And in all of their profiles, I want them really doing two things. Number one, I want them thinking strategically about how they're going to set it up. What actions do they want people to take when they're on that profile? Number two, I also want them to find a way to really serve their readers and their friends and whatnot through their profiles. So I want them doing things like importing their blog posts through the RSS tools that are in there, maybe an inspirational quote of the day, things that really give value to your visitors and your friends. Well, on Facebook, we have this little issue about having a 5,000 friends limit. And I hit my 5,000 friends, I don't know, before my birthday this year, so sometime in prior to the end of May. And ever since then, I've been stuck. I don't have any more room that I can use. And there are people that I want to connect with myself, so I want to go and invite them to be a friend, and there's people I want to connect with that I want to come and get to do something with me. But we can't because I reached that limit. So I instead set up a page on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/business, you'll see a section that says ads and pages. You can create a page that looks identical to your profile, functions identical to your profile. It's just called a page. And this is meant to be either for you as a business person or as a blog. So I went in and created another slideshow, essentially. It was nice and quick and easy, but now I can't figure out on my Facebook page, how do I get it attached to my profile?
On your Facebook page, how do you get it attached to your profile? What do you want to attach,
right,
though?
What I want to happen is people are still coming to my Facebook profile and inviting me to become their friend.
Mm-hmm.
I have over 3,000 friend invites that I can't do anything with.
Right.
I have a message below my picture that has a little message that says, hey, guys, thanks for wanting to become my friends. Unfortunately, I reached my 5,000 person limit. Visit me at, and then I give them my link, www.askggg.com/fanpage, askggg.com/fanpage, and I tell them to go and become a fan instead.
Right.
I have 19 people in 4 months.
Okay, well, one of the things that you can do right away is you can add your Facebook, your fan page profile to your Facebook account, okay? And you can also
How do you
add,
do that?
If you go into your fan page, I don't recall exactly where it is, but there's a way to get your profile badge, is what they call it specifically, I believe. And the profile badge allows you, it gives you a piece of code which allows you to place that anywhere you want it. So you can do it in, you know, in a profile HTML box on your actual profile. You can do it within a text box on your blog. You can propagate this everywhere. And it's a very good way to, you know, bring people to your fan page as fans and get them to sign up there. Now, the other thing that you want to do with your fan page is you don't actually, in my opinion, want it to look just like your profile. I mean, clearly it's going to have a lot of the same information, but you want to be doing a couple of different things. So the fan page is the one place that Facebook allows us to be a business, to sell stuff. Okay?
Right.
And you know, they allow us to do marketing, and they allow us to do all that kind of business activity, right? All the rest mm-hmm. of that stuff is really kind of a no-no in groups and in your personal page, and can get you your group or your page deleted. The fan page is okay. So on the fan page, you can actually set your opening tab to be something very specific. You can set it as a welcome tab, for instance. And in that place, you can, using HTML and some, you know, a little bit of design, you can actually design a custom page there that looks much, much better than your personal profile. And well, that'll inspire people to either opt in and become a fan. You want them to actually be doing both, because the fan page is definitely a place where you can get opt-ins into a list, So if you're building a list
right.
and you understand the importance of that, you should absolutely be doing that through your fan page.
Okay. I think I got that. I've been jotting down notes. And if I don't, I'm going to go back and listen to this recording at askggg.com/radio.
Yeah, you bet. Now, you know, a lot of people have this misconception about being able to directly mail your fans. You can, but it's in a limited fashion, not like you can within a group or from an event invite. Okay? It's a little bit more constrained. You know, the thing about the fan page that makes it very powerful is it shows up in the news feed. So if I'm a member of your fan page, anything that you do on your fan page will show up in my news feed. And that's how they're able to grow very virally with that situation. So what you can be doing more of to convert your personal people is you can invite them from your fan page, from your personal page to your fan page. Okay, so you should be doing that often, you know, in different ways. And that shows up as a message. So that invite, okay? The other thing, too, is you can invite them right through your status feed. Okay, again, that shows up, you know. You can create video, you can create notes, you can create, you know, all sorts of different things that allow you to invite people to your fan page. And you should be doing that, too.
How do you do that?
Meaning that you've got a link to your fan page, right?
Right.
You set your fan page up to maximum capture. So when somebody lands
right.
on it, okay, first of all, you want maximum capture. And if you look at a friend of mine, Ian David Chapman's fan page. So Ian David Chapman, he does a very good job, and he's an expert at setting these things up in terms of placing a graphic which points directly to his fan page at the right place on the landing page and capturing people as an opt-in, okay? So that's a very good way. You know, another you know, great example and really high-quality example of how certain companies are using a fan page is to go to Coca-Cola's fan page. Coca-Cola's fan page is excellent. They're doing a great job. They're doing a great job with their fan page.
The one I've been looking at is Shaquille O'Neal. And I think it's the real Shaq, S-H-A-Q.
Mm-hmm.
He's got, I don't know, close to 300,000 fans, I think.
Yeah. You know, another great example of a business using a fan page very effectively right now is Sprinkles. I don't know if you guys know Sprinkles. Sprinkles is a West Coast-based cupcake company, brick and mortar. But they use their fan page to every... Throughout the day, what they'll do is they say, come into one of our stores, and the first 25 people to whisper this, whatever this is, gets a free cupcake. You know, excellent use of fan page and viral marketing to engage followers and drive them to a purchase.
Oh, let me grab this link and put it into the chat. I'm looking at Ian David Chapman's fan page.
You know, one of the things you got to realize about the fan page is that the location of your join button is going to be determined by how long your name is of your fan page.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to have an arrow pointing up saying join this fan page, well, you need to adjust in the HTML coding where that image shows up so that it's pointing to the right, because you want it literally pointing right to the fan page, join here kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. He has since we're on the radio, I'll just mention that he has a thing on the top that says click on the Become a Fan button above with an up arrow pointing to the button. And so that it kind of reminds people to do that because, yes, people definitely need very simple instructions. So
people need simple instructions, no doubt.
Right. You know, and that definitely does it so that, and that's just done with the coding, so that's good. So many people have a wall as their opening page on their fan page. He is using either FBML box or some other way of putting coding in and using that page as the place where people land when they visit his fan page. They can still click on the wall in the info and the other type of discussions and so forth and so on.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's using, is FBML, and you can code the FBML tab to be the default tab within a fan page editing function.
And you can have more than one FBML box as well, or tab.
You can have multiple, absolutely. You know, the fan page is fairly customizable once you understand how to do it. Now, you know, I'm not one to talk because I'm hardly using my fan page at all, because I've just got so many other things going at this point that I just haven't put that much effort into it. I am building it out to do that, and will be using it. I have other fan pages, just not my personal one, that are built out really well. Just my own personal, I just haven't done so yet. But it's an excellent source for doing business on Facebook. And clearly what people are doing at this point is, when you do hit the 5,000 friend limit, you then, you know, begin to direct that traffic over to the fan page, which is a better place to have it anyhow.
Rhonda, did you get your questions answered about Facebook?
I think one of the things that you're dealing with, Gina, because you're at your friending limit, is that little conversion from, if Facebook would let you do that automatically, that would be so much easier, because people are just going to automatically hit the add as friend button on your profile page without really notice. See, I think that's kind of the thing you were getting at. So, Bill, can you think of a way to sort of encourage people to notice? I mean, other than using as your profile picture, click on my fan page or something, you know, as a way that somebody who visits Gina's profile page, or anyone else who's at that 5,000 limit, and you want them to find and to click on, instead of friending you, to click on your page and somehow sending them a message that says, yeah, I'm at my friend limit, go over here, and people still don't necessarily do that because, like, that's an extra 3-second step and they just don't have the time. But what might you recommend to help people realize to go ahead and look at, from the profile page, to go ahead and look at that that fan page instead?
Yeah, again, they don't, you know, as you've already alluded to, they don't make that particularly easy.
No, they don't.
There's many places that you can utilize the real estate to drive people to the fan page you want to. So that's why the profile badge or the fan page badge is very important, to use that in as many places as possible, to be able to, you know, message each person. Well, you know that you only have about a 40 message limit every day anyhow, so that doesn't really help you. In terms of, you know, being able to go to those people and message them back saying, hey, you know, I saw that you had a request. I'm sorry, I'm at my 5,000 limit. Join me over here.
Plus, so that takes time and you can't automate it.
It's just very laborious and you can't automate it. Exactly. So, you know, again, it only comes down, it then still comes down to, you just only have the real estate available to utilize to direct that traffic. So as best as you can utilize it, you know, is going to be to your advantage. You know, then again, if you're giving kind of like money magnet sort of contents, to use Frank Kern's language, to move people over to the fan page, then that's a good system as well. So, you know, more about this on my fan page. Find out more about, you know, there's links like this on my fan page. There is this on my fan page. So as much as you can kind of direct people with a link to do so, you'll successfully begin to build your fan page and to bring people over there. And then, of course, you know, you want to be talking about it a lot. The other thing, too, is that, you know, I mean, Facebook does make it pretty easy as far as the URL. Once you're at 100, you can do a vanity URL on your fan page. Even if you're not with with a subdomain redirect function, you can drive people directly to your fan page with a very easy URL, or use something like budurl or bit.ly URL, or budurl or bit.ly, which allows you to shorten a URL and then track it and drive people from many, many other ways to your fan page as well, and then you know how many people are actually clicking and whether what you're doing is working, right? Always important to know whether what you're doing is working. Is anybody clicking it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's it. Yeah, and if you change 10,000 things at once, you'll never know what's affecting you. So changing one thing at a time to check the effectiveness is good.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
One of the things that I hear from people often is they're just trying to make heads or tails out of all this myriad of different social marketing sites. Is, my goodness, there's so many of these things. I don't want to have to spend 12 to 20 hours a day doing this. How do you answer that for folks?
Don't, because it's not going to help anyhow. Most people who, you know, get really heavily involved in terms of their time commitment aren't doing the right things anyhow. It's a matter of learning what the best use of your time is. And, you know, what I would say to most people is, you know, dedicate 30 minutes a day. And how do you go about making the best use of your time in 30 minutes a day? Let's just take the two biggest platforms at this point, which are Twitter and Facebook. If I want to spend 30 minutes a day and get the maximum bang for my buck, I would break that into two 15-minute segments. I would do that. Now, I'm on Central Time. I would do that at 11 o'clock and at 3 o'clock, which for me are the highest capture points of eyeballs of my followers because of where I'm at, okay? So just adjust that for where you're at. And 15 minutes would be spent. What I would do is that anybody who ever retweets anything of mine in Twitter, I would put them into a list. Now, if you don't have lists yet, you will have them shortly. I think most people have the list function at this point that Twitter just came out with about a month ago, okay? And that allows me to track those people that already are paying attention to me.
So is that a retweet?
It's not a retweet.
Are you calling that list retweeters?
No. You can call it whatever you want to. It doesn't really matter, okay? I call it fans, you know, because that's what they are. It's just people who are fans of what I'm doing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And a fan is anybody who steps up and engages with you as a commenter, or engages with you as a retweeter, or, you know, does anything to respond to something you've done. That, in my mind, makes that person a fan in some way or another. And what you want to be doing is spending your time pouring into your fans whenever possible. So if you've only got 30 minutes a day to do it, okay, put them into a list on Twitter, and then click your list and respond to everything that they've done. Okay. Which is, again, going to engage those fans and make them greater fans of yours. And then the same thing goes with Facebook. Okay, Facebook also has a list function. So anybody that ever comments on anything that I do or responds to anything that I do or has any sort of interaction with me goes into another list that's the exact same function. So I can click on my Twitter list, and that's just you go to your home button, and then there's your list of people that you've put into a list, click onto that list, I can see everything they've done, I go in and I comment on what they're doing. So that is a way to grow your networks deeper in the relationships that you have without spending a whole lot of time. And it's those relationships that will turn to people that will always click on everything that you do, i.e. raving fans. And raving fans turn to money.
Mhm. Yeah, I think where a lot of people get things wrong. They're worried about the numbers and not the raving fans who are going to drag four of their friends across the street, as you said earlier, to buy from you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So now to get to more, you know, if you've got more than a half hour a day, one of the things about Facebook that I absolutely love, and now you can't do this at this point, since you've already reached the 5,000 friend limit. And what I did is that, you know, early on I started I started adding a lot of friends in different niches that I wanted to be in. So going into groups, adding those friends is useless. It's absolutely useless. I stopped that, mm-hmm. and I even stopped accepting most of my friend requests unless they told me where they came from. Because I'm now very protective over my 5,000 limit. I don't want to hit it. I'd rather build mm-hmm. out a fan page now at this point with all my overflow traffic and bring in only the best, most raving, qualified fans possible into my Facebook personal account. Because there's so much more interaction that can happen in there, okay? In terms of just multiple things within the platform. But what you do want to be doing is connecting with people that have very large amounts of overlapping fans with you. And the reason is because if you look at the way the news feed is now set up, if you go to your home button to do this, and I'm going to be doing this to make sure I get all the language correct, if you go to your home button, you now have, they used to call it highlights. It's now just events and all sorts of things down the side, okay? But so the way to find people that you have large amounts of overlapping friends in is the suggestions right there. So you should see your request box on the right-hand side. You see suggestions there. And then down below there, events are a really viral way to... now, it used to be that they'd put a picture up there now, too, and they've stopped doing that recently. Picture was helpful in terms of being able to recognize you, and that was always very helpful. They with Facebook, one of the things that you'll learn about Facebook the more you get into it is they change stuff all the time. So
yes,
what's there today?
Yes, and I keep seeing these groups, and we want the old Facebook back.
What's there today may not be there tomorrow. Okay, so just realize that.
Right.
Okay, but this whole side is where the viral sort of spreading goes on, along with the news feed. So the news feed, and the more heavily you're connected with somebody via joint friends in common, the more your stuff will show up in their news feed, which is, and now that's why you want to be connected with people that have large amounts of friends in common. And then those folks, what I do is I have a list of what I call alliances with large networks. So I want to both be connected with people that I have a lot of friends in common with and they have large networks. Because what I'm trying to do is reach their networks, which will build everything else that I'm doing.
Gotcha. Good. So, yeah, that is, a strategic move that you're looking for the people who are the most engaged in the network, as they're already fans of yours, they're engaging with you and talking with whatever, instead of just picking anybody. I think there's always an up and a downside to stuff. The downside is you maybe could convert someone into a raving fan, but I agree with you on that. One thing I had been told about, friending people in similar groups, and unless there already starts to be some engaged, really involved conversation fairly quickly, that doesn't seem to go anywhere.
Well, the engaged conversation has to come from you. Everybody's
right. Well,
doing.
Right.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, if they don't, if they don't engage back, that's the.
Well, then you're not being very engaging. Everybody
mm-hmm.
likes to talk. You want to engage somebody, ask them what they're doing. Ask them questions. The best way to engage
mm-hmm.
somebody is to ask them about themselves. Bingo. It's really not hard. When I go in and I comment on somebody's stuff, I'm like, wow, that sounds really interesting. What else are you doing? Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get into that? That creates a conversation and then keeps me in their news feed longer. So whenever I do it very systematically. And it's interesting. You're creating conversation. You're making a friend. That's how you make friends. Is you don't talk about yourself.
Right.
It's going back to that party analogy I used earlier. At a party, you know, for one, you don't come up to people and hand them a, you know, a business card and say you want to buy something.
No.
That's just not, that's not the way you behave. It's the same way, you know. You know, the best way to start up a conversation at a party is, hey, my name is Bill. What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting. Tell me more. You know, that creates conversation. And those conversations are golden in terms of the relationships that you can build, because you never know who you're going to be conversing with. Because if you don't know them and they don't know you, well, I mean, like I started up a conversation with somebody today and yesterday, actually, that is a super affiliate. Bingo.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I like to know super affiliates, because that's
mm-hmm.
somebody who can absolutely help me sell a lot of product down the road. You know, so I mean, that you just never know. And I started it because, again, I found this person, and the way I just told you, I put them into my alliances with large networks. I started commenting on their stuff. And, you know, I just got a message back from him on Twitter that said, wow, you are a heck of a coach. How much do you charge?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So, you know, I mean, cool, right? Exactly. You never know what's gonna come up from your
right.
efforts.
Just from some conversation, right.
If you guys know who Gary Vaynerchuk is, I'm sure you do. I had the good fortune, he's on a book tour right now, I had the good fortune of sitting with him during a book speaking he did last Thursday night. And to watch this man pour into his followers was amazing. It was magical how wonderful he is about it, because he's so concerned, because he cares so much, right? It just shows, right? There's just no questioning his authenticity or his desire or you know, his where he's coming from, right? You know, if you can kind of take that approach, and he said, you know, first pour into people and then they will pour into you, kind of statement, right? Meaning that if you
mm-hmm.
pour into people and you lift people up, you will have a much easier time making money. Much easier. Because people are going to love you.
Right. So, yeah, and one of the favorite things that people like to reply is when I ask somebody, what's the best thing that's happened to you in the last day?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a very good question, Rhonda.
Questions are fantastic. You know, if you've got nothing, to say in social media, then just ask questions. You know, I mean, questions. I use my kids a lot. My wife won't let me put any pictures of my kids up or videos or anything. Otherwise, I'd use them all the time, because kids are just awesome. My kids are a hysterical group of kids. I have three boys. And I would use them all the time if my wife would let me. because it's engaging. It makes me human. It makes me like you. You know, it makes we both have kids. We have the same struggles that we go through. You know, I change diapers. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things, right? You know, we can all kind of, you know, bundle together and group together and say, you got diapers too. Oh man, you're actually human, right? Because so many you know, people think that if you're out there in social media and you're selling product and, you know, you're, you know, whatever status, you know, I hate to use the word guru because it's so overused, but whatever status it is, then you must be different. No, I'm not different. I got to change poopy diapers. Sucks, you know, but you do it, right? But I use those examples of life all the time in social media. And I'm like, does anybody else have to do this? You know, did anybody else have their kid throw up on them this morning? Has that ever happened to you, you know? And it's
sure.
such a wonderful way to sort of share who you are and engage people, because people love to tell their story. And social
mm-hmm.
media is a fantastic platform to tell your story on. You just got to ask.
One of my friends, we've been trying to get her to do videos and pictures of her everyday life, and she keeps trying to go, well, what could they possibly want to know about, you know, life in my town? And I'm like, you would be so surprised, because, for example, I remember one time I mentioned on Twitter that I had made steak and biscuits and salad for my father who was visiting, and someone said, did you take a picture of it? And I was like, well, nothing to take a picture of now except scraps, so no. Now every time I bake something, I'll take a picture of it, or, you know, whatever, just everyday life, because people that, and the cats, and the dog, and the chickens, and, you know, your pets, your kids, interesting things you're doing, people do love to see that.
You know, one of the most popular feeds on Ustream is a feed of just a pen of dogs. Go figure.
Oh!
Puppies playing.
That's like when, Animal Planet did they do the Puppy Bowl every year on Super Bowl Day, and they have a pen that looks like a football field, and they have puppies playing, and referee will come up and, oh, unnecessary roughness, and break up a little tussle or, you know, whatever, and it's just really, really fun. And I'm sure, it doesn't surprise me that that's popular on Ustream.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was there. Now I go have to look for it.
it's a hysterical feed.
Yeah,
but I mean, you know, look at Chris Perillo, for instance. You know, I mean, obviously he's got a very strong following that he's poured into for years. But I was looking last week; he was away. This is on Friday, because I always kind of like to watch what he's doing. You know, why recreate the wheel when somebody else has already paved the way for you? And he was away on holiday in Hawaii for the week or whatever. There was 275 people watching his screen, his station. You know, my friend and I are looking at this, just scratching our heads, going, wow. You know?
Yeah.
275 people, absolutely nothing going on. So, you know, I mean.
People have nothing better to do, I guess. That's weird. Cracks me up.
Yeah, I know. It's just one of those things, you know. It's like, okay. Wow, I wish 275 people would watch my screen. You know?
Yeah. Interesting.
You know, I'd have subliminal messaging going on all the time, you know, buy stuff.
Right. Product images flying across the screen.
That's right. Put yourself in a happy place. Take out your credit cards.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, I love it. Hey, Gina, did answer your Facebook questions.
Yes and no. I have to go back and listen to the recording to make sure that I understand exactly how to do what I'm trying to do on my profile.
One thing occurred to me, and I don't know if this is a great idea or not, so whatever, but since you can have that badge and there is a way to have a profile HTML box, I wondered if setting that up as the first thing people see to get them over to the fan page might be one way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the only place you can, the topmost place you can put that profile badge is directly under the people you're connected with. That can be the next place. Now, the problem with that is it's below the fold. And what I mean by below the fold is, you know, most people see just a limited real estate. As much as possible,
right.
Anything that you want people to see, you put above the fold for a normal, whatever a normal is now with a screen resolution. I don't even know what it is, but, you know, kind of 800 by 600 multiplied up nowadays. Most screens are much more high resolution than that. But it's whatever you see when someone first comes onto your site. Where possible,
right.
Always have the most important things right there for people to see. But, you know, clearly if they're engaging enough to come to your site, they're probably going to scroll down a little bit. And, you know, what you can do is, as you've already alluded to, is you could even change your picture if you wanted to and say, go down and click my profile button, which, you know, may or may not be such a wonderful thing. But you can change it in the bio text as well. You know, click my profile badge below.
Yeah, fan page button or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That was the only stuff I could think of, because I know it would be below the fold, but that was like the best I could think of to make it happen and still leave your, you know, your wall posts and things there for people to, you know, to read.
Yeah, it's too bad that your personal page didn't allow you the functionality of opening to a specific page like the fan page does, but, you know, that is what it is, right?
Right. Right, absolutely.
You know, the other thing,
and
too, is you could
yeah.
create a tab, join my fan
yeah.
page. No, that's above the fold, so that could
right.
be helpful, too.
Yeah, use that as your box. Join my fan page and on the tab, and, that, and then people might have a chance to notice it. So those might be some best as can be managed ways to make that stuff happen. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've had some really great tips and advice from you. Be, ask questions, be engaging, provide how-tos and reviews and interviews and things to get people involved, to ways to set up your fan page on Facebook and get content streamed using feeds and Twitter feeds and so forth. Into different sites. Is there any last little chunk of wisdom that you might want to make sure that people know about? And, of course, I want to mention BillCrosby.com, your site for people to go to.
Yeah, I mean, not without getting into another hour and a half discussion.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I mean, those are some of the things that I just specifically do, so I always love to share with people, you know, what is specifically working for me and what I'm specifically doing. I mean, that's it, you know.
Yeah.
Like I said, that, you know, the next sort of iteration of that same conversation would be, you know, how do you develop products really rapidly and how do you determine what are the best products to affiliate market? You know, that's based upon more of that keyword research, and it sounds like you guys are already helping
right.
people understand how that works. So.
Also wanted to let you know, we did a call about the book Tribes because I had read and really felt like it was an important piece, and we had a fabulous conversation, Gina and I, about 2 weeks ago. So if you look on askggg.com/radio, look for the post with Tribes in the title, which was from, it was 2 weeks ago, whatever that date was. Then you'll see it. And I think it was, that would have been on end of October, I guess. So.
Oh, excellent.
You might want to investigate that because you mentioned that that book earlier in the show.
Yeah, it's a fantastic book. I reference it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And a quick read, too. You know? Very quick.
Yeah, mine has all kinds of underlines and dog-eared pages and everything in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's the other thing. I mean, we didn't even talk about sort of the education component of building a business online on how important that is. I mean, that would be maybe the passing thought is, you need to be educating yourself, and you don't need to educate yourself that much to be really successful because, you know, most people don't. So to kind of get ahead of the curve, you know, if you're just out, you know, reading the right stuff like Tribes, and you know, investing some money in your education, it's going to help as long as you take action, right?
Mm-hmm. And by the way, I loved your blog post on that you had from the 16th. Is anyone making money in social media? I say no. That was a great blog post. Folks might want to read. Be sure to read.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's done well in the rankings. People really like it a lot. There's a lot of people linking to it. So.
Yep, and it's listed on your most popular.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for having me on. It's been a blast. I hope I didn't overtalk you.
Oh, no, thank you. It has been fun.
You are awesome. You are awesome. Thank you. Thank you. And I know we're running down to just a couple of minutes, and, gosh, I feel like we could easily do, like, 3 or 4 more shows. I do that with all the guests. I go, man, we could talk to them for, like, a whole day easily.
And here's something I know that our listeners are going to want. If they want to come and connect with you and learn more about using social media in their businesses, where can they find you?
Oh, you know, I'm real easy to find because I've got all my subdomain redirects set up. So you can find me at twitter.billcrosby.com, facebook.billcrosby.com, youtube.billcrosby.com, linkedin.billcrosby.com, Bebo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're all set up. So,
and they're all listed on your site, too.
Yeah, they're all listed on all my sites, so you'll find
yeah.
those listings at any one particular place that you link up with me. So love to have you. Come play.
Absolutely, come play for sure. Very, very good. Excellent. Really good. Really good teaching, and I appreciate you so very much.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. Trust me, I love doing these kind of shows. I love kind of giving back as much as I can. You know. So it's Absolutely. My pleasure indeed. So I hope I've given some good value to your listeners.
Definitely, definitely. And my goodness, we just have so many fabulous people. Next week we have the Twitter Watchdogs coming on to the show, which will be fabulous. I've talked to these guys on the phone, and they're Alan Skeeter, they're really tremendous folks, so we have them coming up, and I'm just always so excited at the various, the quality of people we can bring to help everyone grow a strong business.
Yeah, again, interviews are a great way to do that. It's wonderful what you guys are doing.
So, Gina, we've got just a couple of minutes here. It's amazing how quickly everything goes by.
Absolutely. What do we want to talk about for a couple of minutes?
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. I'm gonna go ahead and hang up. So, thanks again for having me on the show.
Thanks so much,
guys,
Bill. Take care.
Thank you very, very much. You take care. Have a great one.
You too. Bye-bye.
So,
Rhonda, yes. I know what we could talk about.
What's that?
December 10th, mark your calendars. The JV University is having a one-day workshop in Las Vegas that is all about how to make money using joint ventures in your business. If you go sign up on thejvuniversity.com on the blog, just subscribe. You'll be getting an email about it very soon.
Excellent. So, wow, in Vegas, lots of fun there, a one-day intensive. I know there are some exciting things happening for the first group of people that are coming through the JVU. And fabulous learning for people on the power of joint ventures. And I'm right to say that we have all four of the best in the world, don't we?
Absolutely.
So we have you, we have Willie Crawford, we have Sahail Khan, and we have David Preston, who are all going to be there. And I'll tell you, you want to pick people's brain and get a great chance to connect with folks, that is going to be the place to do it for joint ventures.
And all of us are going to be getting there a few days early and staying at least a few days late in most cases. So it is a really great opportunity to get us involved in whatever JVs you're interested in doing for your business.
Perfect.
Again, you want to go to www.thejvuniversity.com for further details. Just opt in on the sidebar of that blog on the list, and we'll be
Perfect.
Sending you details as soon as they come up.
Excellent. All right, we are out of time. Wow.
I am going to go work on getting things ready for that workshop, and I will be back here next week with you, Ms. Rhonda, so I can't wait. Thanks so much for today's show. That was really a great show.
Thank you. Yes, it was great, and I just love bringing these experts to us, and boy, all through November, December, on into next year, we're just going to rock your world with all the great people that we have. So thank you, Gina,
okay.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Rhonda. Bye-bye.